Indeed, it is a good time to be together. Thank you for leading us in those songs. I'd like to take that brother with me everywhere I go. Beautiful singing. It is my honor to be here in Sanford. I apologize for my wife not being able to come. She was speaking at a ladies' day in Tompkinsville, Kentucky, and I got to fly free because I have enough air miles. Lo and behold, I got up there and to rent a car. And they said, "Mr. Honeycutt, you're up for an upgrade, free." And they said, "What do you want?" And I'm kidding, I said, "A Volkswagen." She looked at me and she said, "No, we're going to give you a 300. I didn't know what a 300 was, but I like it. I took a picture and sent it to my wife. And I said, "You see what I get when you're not here?" And your mission work. One of the things that I wanted to point out in our work that you help support, and we think is very important, is that every dollar given to this work goes right into the mission field. Not one penny goes to the overhead, not one penny goes to salary. Every dollar is given right into India. Also, this is overseen by faithful eldership at Willette. You've probably heard of the Willette Church. We have seven elders that are good, faithful elders. Four of them have been to India. We have 14 deacons, and most of them have been. We invite you to go. I believe Brian, your preacher, would make a good one to go over there. I said that one place, and his wife spoke up and said, "Give him a one-way ticket," but I know his wife didn't say that. Our theme this year is the things that you have heard from me, commit thou to faithful men. You know, brethren, the things that you have heard, Christianity is a perpetual thing. We are supposed to teach these young men and raise them up in the ways of God that they one day can replace us. We're trying to do that in India. I don't know how much longer we can continue this work because of Modi, who is the president of India. His election is coming next year. We're praying that he will get beat because he is of the BJP party, which is anti-Christianity. He is a Hindu extremists. And you know in India that it's the second largest populated place in the world behind China. There are 1.2 billion people in India. In the areas that we work in, we don't work in the cities. We work in the jungles of South India, back in the tribal areas. And in this Andhra Pradesh state that joins the Telangana state, in those two states there are 90 million people. The majority of them are lost. Never had the gospel taught. And that's one reason that we're going to continue to go and try to share the gospel with them. One of the things that we try to do every year, we go in November. We take a team that we have assigned in July, their subjects. They will do a manuscript, and we print them on our own printing press. And we give them to every person that attends our lectureship. Over to the far right is from Michael Grooms from Boiling Springs, South Carolina. He is a very, very good teacher, sound young man. He used to preach at Highland Heights in Lebanon for about 12 years. I want to point out the two people in the center, Glenn and Lisa Holmes. Glenn Holmes is an elder where Glenn Coffey preaches at Huntsville Church, West Huntsville Church. And Glenn has been several times with me. We always give him some lessons that's designed to teach elders and the qualifications of the work of elders. And, of course, Lisa, his wife. Now, one of the things that I also want to emphasize, because evidently I didn't do a very good job in one of the places I'm at, they called the elder home. Every time a lady speaks, we always have a lady translator, and there's never, ever a man there. Okay? Titus 2:4 says to older women to teach younger women. That's scripture. That's biblical. But we never use a lady translator. The elders knew that I wouldn't endorse that, but I had to call this brother and get that straightened out because I didn't want to be in a local hood. Our brotherhood paper on the front page that I called error, and I promise. promise you that happens from time to time, not with me. But here are our ladies. We always have a ladies' class. We have a men's class. The ladies' class is at Rappahannock. When we're at Rappahannock, the same time they are, it's too dangerous to separate. So we go into three different locations, the men. We will lecture for about 45 minutes. Then we have a question and answer period. The ladies are inside that church building. I think, yeah, there's Lisa actually teaching. You'll notice the visual aid that my wife is holding. When Lisa teaches on a particular story or subject, the visual aid that our children at church got to paint and color, and she holds those up to try to teach. And we think it's a very valuable tool. We are even teaching children. My first trip to India was 1993. I made 36 trips to India. I have seen a tremendous impact of New Testament Christianity. Because when I went in 93, it was primarily the women. But now we have men that's been converted. We have children that are attending our classes. Here we are in front of the CUNY Church building with some of our preachers. We have about 700 preachers that they will come to CUNY. We have about 600 preachers that will come to Rappahannock. Some of those guys are elders. We invite elders to come. We invite future elders because we want to make sure that the church understands biblical leadership. And so here we are in front of the CUNY building with some of our preachers, not all of them. Now here is actually, this was in November, we had 1,200 engineering students, all high-cast, converted, very few people that are high-cast citizens. That means that the people that come to America buying our motels and buying our convenience stores, they are high-cast. Every time I see one, I embarrass my wife. I say, you speak Telugu? That's low caste. We're high caste. We are of the Patels. No. We would, and they kind of look down on that. And then we get into discussion. I said, you believe in God? You want to prove God? I believe in a God. You don't believe in the God of heaven and earth that created all? No. You all have a Christian view. We have a different kind of view of it. Yeah, you got a worldly view. But nevertheless, I didn't say that to them. And so we start getting this discussion. We can't touch the high caste. But the engineering director allowed us to come and teach. We brought them over there, 1,200 of them. Michael Broom spoke for 45 minutes. I don't know for sure if this is what the director had in mind, but I know what they got to hear. Michael spoke on the origin of man, the creator, God. And then he talked about the inspiration of the Bible. And we looked at the validity of the Bible and both internal and external evidence. So he spoke for 45 minutes, then I spoke for 45 minutes, and we baptized zero. Zero. Our job, my friends, is the responsibility of planting the seed. I hear sometimes, I spoke at Free Hardman at their mission forum about 4 years ago. Man, I spoke on our mission work in India. I said that we baptize anywhere from 9 to 10,000 a year. 80 to 85% of those that we baptize will remain faithful. And there was a fellow there that was involved in mission work, Churches of Christ, and he said they baptize 1 million a year. 1 million a year. Brethren, nowhere in the world can you baptize 1 million a year. You might baptize them, but we're talking about converting. We're not about just getting them wet. That's a process that takes a lot of work. Going back to our story here, after we left, evidently someone turned us in, and the police came and asked our Indian brethren, Native brethren, if we were preaching and teaching, and if so, they wanted a copy of our visas because we're on tourist visas. And you know, we are allowed, if our brethren invite us to speak, we can speak. And so we think one of these students got angry and probably went to the police. And so that was the issue that we had to deal with. One of the things that we are starting, we're going to have two tent meetings a month. Each one of those tent meetings is going to cost us $1,000 in different locations. We're going to go all over the Andre for this day. Right now, we're in a 500-mile square area. We're going to go into various places. These tent meetings, they've already done two. And in those two, where the local preachers and the Christians have studied, given out Bibles to the local people, studied with them, we baptized 57 already during that. We can't be a part of that. We used to. The first time I went to India in 1993, we got there on a Sunday morning. They said, you need to freshen up. They're waiting on you. And when I got there, you probably heard me tell this, 60,000 people underneath all of those tents. They were everywhere. You look out and didn't have a parking lot, but you look out in the fields, there were all kinds of big trucks where the people had come in on cattle trucks. They had ridden their bicycles. They came in by huge buses. I mean, just an enormous, enormous work and effort. And I'll tell you something else that was funny about that. Every time I see that picture, it reminds me of it. This is the stage up here. The stage was actually built higher because they wanted the folks to be able to see us and hear us. I was up preaching in 93, my very first trip to India, my very first time, that for me to preach, you have to preach with an interpreter because it's Telugu language. And I'm up preaching. I have a lapel mic on, and I was trying to make a point, and I fell off the stage. You're talking about embarrassed 60,000 people there. Not one of them laughed. They thought I'd broken a leg, but I just kept on preaching and raised up. After it was all over with, B. Ratnam, who was converted by J.C. Bailey, the Navy missionary, he came up to me and he said, brother, he said, did you mean to do that? And I said, no, that wasn't part of the plan at all. So things like that happened, but we must continue. Also, Michael is teaching here in this particular class. It is, these guys are not engineering students, but they have a college there, and they're going through just a two-year college. Every one of them's got a Holy Bible that we actually gave them. You'll notice that lady's got a lectureship book. When I went in there to check it out, I like froze dead in her condition. I never got to preach before or teach with air conditioning. I asked Michael, I said, how do you get that? And the rest of us have to be out there where it's 95 degrees. He said, you must have plenty of rupees and give them plenty of rupees. Rupees is their money. One of the things that we're really emphasizing is trying to appoint biblical elders. Friends, the future of a congregation is to have a biblical organization which includes elders. Now, I'm not talking about appointing elders for the sake of appointing elders. I'm talking about biblical elders that meet the qualifications. We have 30% of our congregations that now have elders. We have seen an enormous growth. Now, when we have these big lectureships, it involves a lot of people. It involves the whole congregation. You got to realize that when you've got 1,200, 1,300 people there, men and women, and they're staying for 3 days, we are, they got to be fed, and all these preachers got to be fed, and their wives got to be fed. And so what the church members do, they come over there and sleep on the floor for 3 days and three nights in order to prepare food. Now, I thought that was bananas. I took a bite of it. I don't know what it was. We still hadn't figured it out. But it goes in that big pot of curry. If you know anything about Indian food, it is extremely hot. Michael Groom said, brother, you take a bite of that, and if you live in 2 hours, I'll take a bite of it. Well, I couldn't and I didn't, but they're cooking outside. That's the normal way to cook in India. As a matter of fact, you see these preachers here in the United States, we eat chicken. Over there, they eat rice and curry. You'll notice they have the rice, they mix the curry up, and they always eat with their hands. This was that guy there is from Suryapet, which is about 400 miles away, up close to Bijawada. Now, not only do we do the November trip, which is that's a huge undertaking, but this trip involves village to village to village. I mean, all day long, you're going to get in a vehicle. They've got a gospel meeting planned. You're going to go in there and preach. You're going to confirm what's already been taught. In India, you don't go set up a tent, hand out a Bible, and baptize folks. And that's what I was telling the man that said they baptized a million a year. You'll never convince me of that. Sounds good. It raises good funds. But brethren, I'm going to tell you right now, we're not in just the business of raising funds. We're in the business of saving souls. And that's what it's about. But here is our team that we're trying to commit to these other people. I'm going to tell you about this man here. All of these are from Willette, except that fellow. He's from up in Michigan. He is a gospel preacher. That's one of our elders. All of these are deacons, but Tim Smith had a massive stroke while we were there. Massive. Spent 2 days and 2 nights in the, I can't hardly talk about it without getting emotional, but he spent two days in ICU, 2 nights in ICU. We thought he was going to die. We'd already completed our work. And on Thursday evening, he got up on Friday morning and did ready to fly to Delhi in order to come home at midnight. We would begin that 15-hour journey home. And he got up. He couldn't walk, just like this right here. And I knew he'd had a stroke. I gave him some of my Plavix because I had a stroke last year. Don't know if that helped him or not. But we got him to the airport, and it was obvious that he needed to see a doctor. They had a doctor there at the airport. He came. He looked at him. He said, "You can't fly. You've got to go to the hospital." That was an undertaking. And I have, like I said, been many, many, many times since 93. That was an ordeal that I hope I never have to go through again. I could tell you, I could write a book. My wife said, "You need to write a book." We got in the ambulance, and it was just turmoil. They argued when we got to the hospital. They wanted cash up front. I said, "I've got a credit card that the elder said, in case of emergency, elder, use this credit card." I said, "I have a credit card." "No, we don't take credit cards from foreigners. Only natives." "No, we want cash." $1,700 cash. Well, they would do anything to him. Big undertaking. Make a long story short, Mike Pickett had left $2,000 to buy the orphans. We have 700 orphans to buy some cots, to buy blankets, to help take care of the widows. And I called John Ratnam. I said, "Is there any way you come to Delhi?" He came to Delhi, brought that $2,000, and that's how we got Tim a little bit better. Don't know for sure if they helped him. They gave him some medicine, and when we got into Knoxville, he got off the plane. They took him right to the skyline to the hospital, and he gave him the medicine that they gave him in India, and the doctors at Skyline Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee said, "We don't even know what that is." Never heard of it. They looked it up, didn't know what it was. So, I don't know if I want to take any medicine, but we did, all six of us. We went to 262 villages. We would average about five places a day. I did. Those guys didn't preach three times a day because not like this fellow here. He's one of our elders. He's not a preacher. And Donnie Gammon's a deacon. Mark West, one of our deacons, an associate minister, and the other deacon. So, I said, "I want to go as many places as I can. You have to have an interpreter. You have to have a driver. You go back into the, you have to take your food with you. There's no way to eat unless you take your food." And so I take a whole suitcase of tuna and squirt cheese. Boy, that sounds like a good combination, but that fills me up. You know, it's got some bad effects to it, but nevertheless, 262 villages. Just a great opportunity in this campaign that did not happen just because we showed up. But in this campaign, we had 1,338 conversions. 80 to 85% of those will remain faithful. Not only that, here are the elders teaching. Some of these I'm just very proud of. This is my translator. He's an elder at Rapid Shadow Farm. This congregation's got two elders. Notice the board there. These are scriptures. All the scriptures that we use, like Acts 20, verse 7, and the Lord's Supper, Matthew 25, 46, and the righteous shall go into eternal life, and the wicked into everlasting destruction. On one of those is Acts 1, 8, teaching about the Holy Spirit and what the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These guys are teaching. As a matter of fact, look at the two guys here that came to be baptized. Now, notice he doesn't have a leg. It's been amputated. Here is what happened. In India, rice fields everywhere. In rice fields, you've got to have water at least halfway up to the knees. A lot of them's got up to the knees. This fellow was a farmer. He probably made about 75 cents a day. He was sitting there in the rice fields, and he was pulling out weeds and a cobra bit. And you could see he was bitten on the ankle, and it started rising. Obviously, if they didn't do something, he was going to die immediately. One of the guys helped pull him out on the side of the bank. They took a machete. They cut his leg off. out there on the side of the bank. I don't know if I hadn't just soon died, but I said, what did they do? And he said, brother, they gave him a stick in his mouth. They had to do that or he would have died. Just a very, very terrible situation. He and his friend, they come to obey the gospel. When you obey the gospel in India, in every village, we've got Christians, we've got a preacher. Most of our preachers preach at two or three different congregations. Where we have a congregation, we do ongoing studies with them. We don't want to go over there and just baptize them. We want to make sure they're truly converted to Christ, going to remain faithful, and have that spiritual growth. And the elders are doing the teaching, and this is a church that says diary or dairy. We don't run a dairy over there. It's supposed to be a church diary. They really struggle with English, and I really struggle with Telugu. But what that is, actually, is the book that the elders, you see it's both Telugu and English, and they open that book up, and the elders keep that on the congregation. They know exactly when the folks attend worship. They know if they're faithful or unfaithful. They practice church discipline. Brethren, I'm very concerned in a lot of congregations that don't church discipline. Our seven elders, 14 deacons, three preachers at Willette, we had meetings and meetings. Our seven elders, all of these men stood up before the congregation. Seven elders said that we want to repent. We want to repent. Because we haven't been practicing church discipline like we should. And our attendance improved. The congregation, we started getting more involved. And I think it's been very helpful. What that book is, that's what the work of the elders do. And they will go and practice church discipline. There's a process that you have to do. First thing we do, we think about discipline. We think about withdrawing fellowship. That's the last thing to do. You've got to be very patient. You've got to be very kind in dealing with anyone. I want you to look how dirty that is. We had a couple of people going to be baptized. We got headed down the steps. And I said, are we baptizing in that field? Because I could look over to the right of this where a water buffalo was taking a bath and probably doing many other things. And I said, no. We don't. I said, we'll take a three-wheel rickshaw. We'll go several miles, maybe 4 or 5 kilometers, we'll go down there and we'll baptize. No, brother, no problem. We baptize all the time there. Our kids sometimes take baths. Wow. And so we got a fellow that his job is to get all the stuff out of the way. I said, we didn't get all the stuff out of the way, but that's what he's doing. Brethren, we're blessed in this country. I'm telling you, we are blessed with good medical facilities. We're blessed. Man, if you could take these facilities right here, put them into India, they would be amazed. Someone says, how do they not just miserable over there? How would they be, and if they understood it, they don't understand it. I don't want them to know how America is. They think everyone in America is rich because almost all the people in the South, these poor people in the tribal area is very, very sad, very weak, bad conditions. Matter of fact, here is the man that's going to be that was baptized. This man is in his 80s. He's been a Hindu all of his life. Those two people, they're his son and daughter. They've been praying, and finally, this older gentleman, he becomes a Christian. And he said, I didn't know what he was saying. But he came up, I got to the top there, he grabbed me, and I was wet. Matter of fact, some of those things are floating in water, they were floating on me, and I was a little concerned about it. Some of the Indians came and pulled it off from me. He came over and gave me a hug, and he said something telugu, and I said, brother, what's he saying? He said he's so thankful that finally in his life, he found the truth. He's found hope for where he's life. And very, very sad situation. And this is one reason, brother, I'm not in a local work, because my first trip to India, I could see so much potential there. I've been to India, I've been to Jamaica several times, I've been to Haiti, and I tell you, I can't see the results. I'm all about getting the bang for the dollar. I know a lot of folks don't like that, and the gospel needs to go all over the world, but I believe in being good stewards of our money. And so that's one reason I go to India. We have 700 orphans that we take care of. We have 9 different orphans homes. For $25 a month, you can provide food, clothing, and shelter. These children will be in an environment where the widows, all the widows, will help take care of them, because we've got 9 homes, 7 widows' homes. We don't have to pay anyone to take care of this home. These children will be provided food, clothing, and shelter, and they are in an environment that's very conducive to them becoming Christians. Many of these young people, they commit scripture every day. They get up and they read scripture. I've watched them, and they know scripture. Some of them do it in English. These young people will grow up, some of them to be preachers, and some of them to be elders. Here are some of the blankets. Every time we get extra money, we try to do something. When we go over there, we were standing there. They have their hoodies on. It's about 90, 95 degrees. They had those hoodies on. They had their blankets. But you got to realize, at nighttime, it gets about 60 degrees. Very comfortable to me. But they're freezing to death, and that's what that's all about. Also, here are some orphans going to school. You'll notice they all wear the same thing. So, these are our orphans that we help provide for. Notice this little girl. I just love that little girl. Of course, I have 7 grandchildren. And I thought, man, I'm going to go over and get my picture made. I went up there and sat down and won't put her on my knee. She took off the flying. And the rest of the guys said, she's never seen a white man look like you. And I said, well, a lot of folks say that. She's scared to death, but I pulled out some candy and I got her to come back. And I got my picture made with her. I've got it framed at home. We, our orphans, get to see the doctor once a month because of the government's got involved in this. And so here they are. Here is our doctor. We pay him $400 a month. I don't, but some individuals do, $400 a month. He is retired from the government doctor or hospital, and he wanted to help us do some mission work for the poor people. And you'll notice we even got a dentist. I was over there a couple of years ago, an elder kid, and also a dentist in the county where I live. He went over there with us, and a preacher came in there and had his whole job, and he was got to be hurting. And Ted got the thing, dabbed it a little bit, and he got this needle left. You know how little they are. And the preacher looked down, saw that needle, he took off out of that room just to get it. They laughed. He went and just kept running. We don't know where he went and what happened, but he wasn't going to get a shot. Never been to the dentist before. You see all the medicines that we buy for these orphans. Some of them are dehydrated. Some of them have worms laying there in the dirt. So we try to take care of all of that for them. Also, you'll notice our orphans and all of our widows here. We have 105 orphans at Rapid Shadamar. That home started 35 years ago. Don't have time to tell you all the story, other than Brother Ratman was preaching in a village. There were 4 children homeless. No one was feeding them. Brother Ratman was a government official, never taking a penny from any church. He didn't need it because he had a job. He took those 4 children. The preacher asked him, said, "Brother, can someone feed them?" He took those 4 children home with him and told Sister B, "We will take care of them." Sister B said, "What are we going to take care of them?" "We're going to take care of them in their house." My first trip to India, they lived in an old house that had holes in it. And they told me, said, "Always keep your luggage. Always keep your luggage closed because cobras and because of rats." Well, I wouldn't be too far afraid of a rat, but I'm very afraid of a cobra. And so these children here and the widows, they are really like grandparents to those children. One of the things that we really do is try to provide a bicycle for our preachers, because most of our preachers, as I said, will preach at 2 or 3 congregations. We'll help them be very effective. We set a goal of 125. We've already got 33, and that's like our children at church. When they go into the classrooms, they're in the box there, they throw their change, their money in, and they've already bought 33 of those this year. PA system in India, they're $300 each. You don't put PA system inside. You put it outside where everyone in the village can hear. I'm glad we don't do that over here, aren't you? Because I live pretty close to a fella, and he is a denominational preacher, and I just see him putting that up, and You get arrested over here for that. But over there, that's the way they teach and to preach. Here's some of our church buildings. We can build a church building for $6,000. And the way, look at those blocks. This is not one we built, it's one they built. But we can build that for $6,000 because we pay one man, Locklear, and all the Christians have to get in and do the work. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. When you do get involved yourself, you appreciate it more. We never bought land over there. They have to provide their own land. These are registered with the government. We're going to buy 20 of those. Here's Tim, the fellow that had the stroke, one of our deacons. He's handing out Bibles. We're going to buy $100,000 worth of Bibles this year. We did last year. And the Telugu Complete Bible is $2.50. The New Testament is $2 for $1. That's in the Telugu language. We also own our own printing press. The government is trying to regulate what people can do if religious material, and you have to go and get a Hindu to print it. It's wrong. We have our own printing press. Last year I did a presentation, or 2 years ago, in Clay County, Tennessee. A fellow had a house and 160 acres. After it's over with, he said, my wife's passed away. I don't have any children. He said, I want to sell my farm, 150 acres, keep 10 acres, and my little house. I said, sir, here's the elder phone number. I'm not going to get involved in that. And he did that. They worked it out, and he bought that printing press, and it is actually four multicolor. I think Don Blackwell and another good brother gave us permission to print that. That's printed on our printing press. It goes all the way through the three dispensations. It talks about the law of Moses and how the law has been done away with at the cross. Very, very, very important. Only almost through. I told you a minute ago about the Hindus. This lady here was baptized by some of the widows in the widow's home. When she became a Christian, she went and told her son and her grandchildren that she became a Christian, and they disowned her, told her to get out of her house. They all lived together. Had nowhere to go. She came back to Rav Shadid Arim and said, can I live in our widow's home? Said, they kicked me out. They won't let me. Said they never wanted to see her again. That's for being a Christian, brethren. Persecution is so, so hard over there. The struggles and the hardships, not only of the weather and not only of a lack of facilities, but when you read something like that, man, it just breaks your heart. As a matter of fact, she's already in the business of converting folks. She's gone and taught some people in her village. She can't even read or write. They marked her some things in a Bible, and she can point to those objects, let them read, and she's already converted some. Here are, we got a school of preaching. We have 20 full-time students. They get $100 a month. When they get through this two-year program, they know the Bible, over 900 classroom hours. The Bear Valley School of Preaching gave us all of their curriculum. We took the Bear Valley School of Preaching, the 2 years, and we actually adapted it to our situation. We did away with the Greek, we did away with the counseling, and I'm going to tell you, we even got the questions and the answers. So they've taken those books, that material, those videos, they translated into Telugu. One of the best things that we ever did. We have a hospital. Let me tell you what happened to that lady in our clothes. I always go to the hospital and check everything out. When we went in the door of a huge hospital, I wouldn't want to be sick in it, but a huge hospital, I could smell something. And I don't do smells real good. And they said, oh, brother, I said, what is that smell? Oh, come in this room here. Come in this room. And I went in that room, and that lady was, you know, they took the bandage off and set up gangrene. She had bitten by a rat, her little hut. A rat came in, bit her. She thought it was a cobra, but someone else that saw the rat go out, it's about that big, and she's bitten. She's going almost in a situation because she's a diabetic that she could die. The next day, they amputated right above the knee, and 4 weeks later, she's a Christian. Every person who comes to our hospital gets a Bible, preacher there to study with them and encourage them. You know what the Bible says, time and time again? It talks about the victory that we have as Christians. Now, isn't it great to be a Christian? Brethren, we always look at the negative things of life, or sometimes we do.
reminded of Galatians 6, verses 7, following. Be not deceived, God is not wrong. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man soweth the flesh, he shall the flesh reap corruption. But if a man soweth of the Spirit, he shall reap life from everlasting. We usually dwell on the first part. Hey, well, you need to straighten up, or you need to obey the gospel, because if you're sown in the flesh, that would be legitimate. But I like to look at the latter part. Have eternal life. Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and might have it more abundantly. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 is a verse that I have to read while in. Thanks be to God for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brethren, we're going to win. We're in a relationship with our Lord as long as we continue to walk in the light and see His life. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. We can't lose. We belong to the Father. We have a relationship with the Father. The condition is keep on walking in the light. And His blood not only cleanses us, but the verb tense of that in the Greek is continues to cleanse us. Man, that's important. We talk about, the blood forgive us. Nothing but the blood. That's right. But nothing but the blood can continue to forgive us. We're going to sing the invitation hymn in just a moment. Perhaps during this assembly, I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but I know one thing, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. You don't become a Christian because God speaks to you directly, or because you have a dream, or a vision, or a nudge, better felt than told situation. No. You hear the gospel. John 6, 44 and 45. If you're going to come to God, you must learn, you must be taught, and God draws them when you are learning and you hear the Word of God. Not only that, you must repent, Luke 13, 3, and again in verse 5. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10, 9, and 10, and you must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. I came from a denominational background. I struggled and struggled with baptism. How in the world can that work? That's no way. That's the work of man. If you watch the debate, I dealt with that. Doesn't matter what men say. The fact of it is, the Bible is right. And the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized. And being in conjunction, coordinating conjunction. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. In other words, if you don't believe, you're already condemned. But if you believe and are baptized, you'll be saved. If you're not a Christian, you should become one. If you are, boy, stay focused on the cross. Stay focused on Jesus. Would you come right now, while together, we stand as we sing together.